Hey everybody, we have a very special podcast this week. By special, I mean we were lazy, so we interviewed the one and only Todd Glass. He talks a little bit about coming out on Marc Maron's podcast, and he's here all weekend at Helium Comedy Club. Go to heliumcomedy.com to check him out. Really one of the funniest guys in the business, plain and simple. So make sure you check that out. Go to comedyfoodsports.com, click on the latest episode. We have a player built into that page, and you can listen to the Todd Glass interview. And we also have Christian Finnegan from The Chappelle Show, VH1's Best Week Ever. Just a monster comedian. He's coming in, I believe, I want to say next weekend at Helium. Go to heliumcomedy.com either way. Really excited. So we're going to have back-to-back interviews with just two awesome guests. They're phenomenal interviews. Some of the best we've ever had. Anybody that is looking to break news to their family, and it doesn't have to be bad news, but just news that they might not be quite ready to come out with or something they've been hiding, I would strongly suggest listening to the Todd Glass interview. It'll be the first one up here. After that, we'll have a couple of random interviews from previous episodes, just for one people that might have missed them from back in our early podcast days, back in the good old days. Anyway, so just enjoy this episode for the two interviews. Those you Reddit people that hate us and think we suck, but we have great people to interview. You'll enjoy this one, because once I'm done talking, you will not hear from me outside of these interviews again. And you won't hear Shelton talking about how he doesn't know enough about Breaking Bad. Screaming from the basement of your mom's friggin' house, yelling for her to make more meatloaf. Anyway, I'll stop rambling. Enjoy these interviews. We love you guys. Also, the contest is still going on, so you have three more days to go to comedyfoodsports.com, click on the Amazon link, buy some stuff, let us know what you bought. The coolest stuff is going to get some free t-shirts from us. They're brand new before everybody else has access to them, which will probably actually be next year. So exclusive deals on CFS merchandise, and on top of that, we might have some special news for you that nobody else will know about till down the road. And lastly, if you don't want to buy something from Amazon, but you want to help support the podcast one way or another, and you love fantasy football, go to our website and click on the DraftKings link. It's right next to the Amazon link at the bottom of the page, or if you're inside one of our pages, it's just going to be on the right-hand side. Sign up for a one-day fantasy football or one-week fantasy football contest. It's pretty awesome, and it's really fun. If you like football, then you'll love this. So anyway, check that out. Let us know what your lineup is, whoever is the coolest lineup. Maybe you have freaking Casey, whatever his name is, from the Texans, or maybe you have Matt McGloin starting this week, which would be foolish, but maybe you do, because Dallas secondary is pretty weak. Anyway, enjoy your Thanksgiving, enjoy the podcast. Todd Glass is coming up next, and right after that, we're going to have Christian Finnegan. We love you guys. Thank you so much for supporting the podcast for over a year now. We are coming up on some big episodes. We have a few monster guests, plus some in-studio guests that are going to blow you away. So until then, go to comedyfoodsports.com and help us out by using Amazon through our link. And for your Christmas stuff, Black Friday's coming up, all that good stuff. I'll stop rambling. Enjoy Todd Glass. Enjoy Christian Finnegan. We love you.
I was checking the specs on the end line for the rotary girder. I'm retarded.
Welcome back to the Comedy Food Sports Podcast, episode 48. We have a very special guest on the line. We've had a really good run of guests in the past few weeks, and another one of my favorite comedians. He's here at Helium Comedy Club all weekend long. Go to heliumcomedy.com for tickets. You've seen him on Last Comic Standing. You've probably heard his podcast. You've seen him all over the country. He's got a lot of local roots here in Philly, so we're really excited to talk to him. One of my my favorite comedians on the planet, Todd Glass. How are you, Todd?
I'm doing good. How about you?
I'm good. The weather's kind of shitty here, but you're already here, right?
Yes, I am. I'm already here. I don't mind. I'd rather take not
chilling, bone-chilling cold, but I'd rather take this type of cold than boiling, sticky, gooky humidity.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I love the temperature. I just wish it would, I wish the sky would clear up a little bit, but I love the, like, the fall temperature.
Yeah, I don't mind it at all.
Yeah.
And I'm home. I've already been down to Pat's and Gino's and Wawa and just doing everything I can to clog up my arteries.
There you go. Yeah, I don't know how it happened, but I somehow lost weight when I moved to Philly. I'm still confused about that, but they did not make it
but funny. Having a good time. I definitely love being back. I love Helium. It's a great club, so it's fun that Philadelphia has a good club.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, just remind me, what's your Philadelphia ties again?
None of your business. my Philadelphia ties are I grew up here. Grew up sort of in Paoli, you know, went to Conestoga, then lived in, like, you know, Valley Forge area, and my whole life. Started doing stand-up here when I was in high school at a place called the Comedy Works down in Center City at 2nd and Chestnut.
Oh, yeah, yeah. People always talk about that because I always get it mixed up with the, you know, the amazing club down in Denver. So whenever people bring that club up.
yeah, the Comedy Works there. Mm. Yeah, the Comedy Works was a great club. And, you know, there was, you know, great comedy there. You saw everybody there from, like, Paul Reiser, Stephen Wright,
wow.
Gary Shandling, Jay Leno, Jerry Seinfeld, Gilbert Godfrey, Richard Lewis. It was, you know, it was just everybody that was, you know, a lot of great comedians.
Nah, that's awesome. That's really cool. So I'd love to talk quickly, or no, it doesn't have to be quickly, but I'd love to talk about your podcast because it's one of my favorite, and I'm a huge, not only kind of friend, I wouldn't say huge friend of Rory, but I'm a friend of Rory, and he's on your podcast a lot. Tell us a little bit about your relationship with Rory and how, because he comes on a good amount, and I love his appearances on your show.
Well, I guess you heard Rory passed away last night, but...
Yeah.
There's nothing funny about that.
Yeah, yeah.
So Rory, you know, I just love hanging out with Rory. He's a, you know, very funny comedian, also fun to hang out with.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we've... I knew I was going to be good friends with Rory because, a long time ago, the Washington, D.C. Improv called me. They're like, there's a comedian, his name is Rory, he's going to be at the Montreal Comedy Festival, will you be nice to him? You know, they were just giving him, you know, like, hey, he's, you know, trying to help him out. But, you know, then we started hanging out, and we just got along real well. I mean, I like having anybody on the podcast like Rory is that just, we'll play. I always just call it playing, like,
yeah,
you know, almost like you do when you're in, you know, when you're in high school and college. You just you don't realize that you might not call it playing, but you're just constantly doing bits, like,
yeah,
what if this, what if that, and what if everything starts with what if, and oh, what if I was this, and what if you were that, and what if I was this, and you were that, and then you do it the other way around. Let me be the door guy that's the jerk, and you can be the dumb customer, and then you do it again. You're like, let me be the dumb customer, and you be this, and you just, you know, beat the death out of a bit, which is my favorite thing in the world to do. Just take something and, you know, do it till you beat it up.
Right, it's like nonstop pretend playtime, like you're saying. That's great.
Yeah, yeah. You know, you mix that with a little bit of pot, and
I like it. Very cool. Cool. So, what's been going on, like, in the past 6 months to a year for those who haven't been really? You know, who haven't seen you since the last time you were here?
Yeah, geez, you give my 10-year-old last comic standing credit, and then nothing after that.
All I know is you're an amazing comedian that's always, you know, always on the road. So
you said a lot of nice things from your heart. I shouldn't make jokes. what's going on? You know, always touring, either, you know, with my own dates, which is at comedy clubs. And, you know, everybody always wants more, you know, no matter what you have, you always want more. But I try to at least appreciate what I have. And where I'm at now in my career is, you know, I open up for, like, sometimes if I'm not doing my own dates, I'll open up for, like, you know, whether it's Louis C.K. or Sarah Silverman or David mm-hmm. Cross, travel with Tosh here and there.
Yeah.
That when I take my club dates, I can be picky, and just take the clubs I really like. So that's, you know, nice, because if I, you know, it allows me to just really work the clubs that I, you know, that I really enjoy. And I'm doing that constantly. And other than that, you know, business wise, I sold a show to Comedy Central, and I've been, you know, I've been working on that a lot.
No, that's great. Very cool.
And sold a book to Simon & Schuster, which will come out in April.
Wow. That's great. Is that, you know, kind of a life story, or is that going to be, or is that kind of secret as of right now?
It's about you.
Oh, of course, yeah. I mean, the pinnacle of your career is calling into this podcast to play the shows, you know.
Hey, let me tell you something about podcasts, and I've said this a million times. I'm not the guy who makes fun of podcasts. You know, like these people, I don't get it, and I love to analyze it and make fun of it, because I think it says something about them. You show me someone that says, oh, another podcast. or even guys that do it, they finally break down and they realize inward that it's good and it's a wonderful vehicle, and they start their podcast with, I know another comedian with a podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
If you think the vehicle of doing a podcast is old, then why the fuck would you even do stand up? Because that's been around longer.
Right, exactly.
It gives it a lot more validity that I'm saying this, that I said it before I had a podcast. Yeah, now I have a podcast, I could be defending myself. But I swear to you, I said this before. These are the same people that go, oh, a short film. Everybody's doing their short film. Like, that's going to turn into anything. Yeah, it does sometimes, you pile of fuck.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's like, imagine if you had the same negative feeling about stand-up, like, oh, I'm going to do stand-up, like, I'm going to do a vehicle that's been around for a long time and give it my own unique slant. What are the odds of that? Well, a lot of comedians do it, so,
yeah.
You know, if you're going to do stand-up, stand-up's been around forever, so if you're going to do it, you should attempt to do something a teeny bit different. If you're going to do a podcast, you tend to do something from your angle. So I don't know why I'm yelling at you. I don't know why I'm bothering.
No, I agree completely. I actually was in the same boat, but I waited to do the pod. This was like a more of a blog originally. I just interview comedians and type it out. And then I realized, A, I'm lazy and I don't feel like typing it out. And B, it would be more fun if, you know, it was more interactive and we had bits in between and stuff like that. And, you know, comedy, food, and sports are my favorite things. And long story short, I got married, I have a kid, I just can't do as many spots as I used to, so this is my outlet, you know?
Yeah, it gets an outlet, and it's a great outlet, and it gets out to a lot of people, and, you know, it's a pure, it's like, you know, I've always said podcasting is like radio with the purity of stand-up, so of course it's a great thing. And I'll answer to your question. The book is an autobiographical and, you know, it's about my life, but it's, you know, it's funny, it's serious, it's a little bit of everything.
Great, very cool. And I have to ask, just out of curiosity, you know, when you came out on Maron's podcast, was there any reason that it happened at that time, or was it just kind of, you felt it was necessary at that point?
Publicity stunt.
Of course.
No, that's a good question. You know, I had just thought, you know, during that period, I just was hearing a lot of stories about a lot of younger people, and I always say younger people, older people have struggles too, of course, mm-hmm. but they at least have the clarity of understanding that it's the world that's, you know, for whatever reason, having trouble with it, but inwardly they're okay. There's one thing to know, I'm okay inside, I'm normal, I'm absolutely fine, I'm healthy. This is just like one more thing that society has, you know, sort of, you know, has had a problem with and eventually will erase. Okay. When you're older, you understand that. So, yeah, it blows on a daily basis to have society, you know, giving you a hard time. But when you're younger, you don't know that.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know that they don't, that it's just society, you know, evolving and that, like so many other things we look back on. And we're just embarrassed about it. Even when we weren't a part of it, we look back at other social injustices, and we're like, what the fuck was wrong?
Yeah.
And we look back with a scrunched up face and with a stomachache going, oh my God, look at what we did to people. What the fuck?
Absolutely.
And that's what this is. But when you're younger, you don't know that.
Yeah, so you just know what you're taught.
Me staying in the closet was giving sort of validity to that it is something to hide. So, look, it took a lot to get me to do it, but I finally just said, look, what am I fucking doing? I don't want to... And I want to say I don't want to live like this. I was really happy. I was. I enjoy life. I enjoy stand-up. I'm not a negative person. I get sad, but you know what I mean? Overall, mm-hmm. I was a very happy person, but there's no negating that this made things better, and I thought, you know, if it, I don't want to send a message that, you know, it's something to be did. So I decided, after a lot of help, with some, you know, pushing myself, that it was time to do it.
That's great, and I'm sure there's plenty of people out there that appreciated it. You know, it's obviously a huge podcast to you know, that however many 100,000 listeners they have. You know, I'm sure any of the people that were struggling to come out had really appreciated it. Have you gotten any feedback from it from you know, random people or fans or anything like that?
You know, I hate to say anything that might, you know, I always preface something with it sounds cliche when I really want to drive home that, you know, I mean it from my heart, is that I hope that I helped some people. It was originally, obviously, to also help me. But, you know, by the emails, it also, if it helps somebody else, it also, the emails you read help you in return, majorly. You know, you read the emails and you get emotional, or sometimes they're emotional and also they're funny, and sometimes they're just, you read it and it's some young, usually younger people writing you emails, and it's very inspiring, and you know, so yes, a lot of good emails, and you all, I also learned that it's not the only thing that people have to hide, and that you know, although some plights might be harder in some areas than others, I learned one thing I don't want to do, and that's make, you know, I said this on a show, make empathy a competition. It's just, to me, you know, way I can say it, it's fucking sad and gross when people make empathy a competition. Like, oh, their struggle, my struggle is harder than theirs. Look, there's no one negating that certain struggles are harder than others, and different areas are harder. Like, some people go, well, the gay struggle is not as hard as the black struggle, because if you're black, you can't hide that you're black. And who would argue with that? How fucking true that is. You can't hide you're black.
Mm-hmm.
So in that area, being black would be harder. But also, if you're gay, you don't, you know, if you're black, you don't have to worry about your parents hating you. At least when the whole world's being sick,
yeah,
you have your family and your mom and dad. Well, gay people don't have that always. So my theory isn't to say being gay is harder, or being a woman is harder, or being black is harder. That's not why I gave that example. I gave that example because, yeah, in one area this is hard, in one area that's hard. But don't make it a goddamn competition. It's childish. It really is childish. And I learned from the emails that people have other things to hide besides being gay. You know, for some people, they got a DUI and they're mortified to tell anybody, or that, you know, that they have somebody that's in prison, or that they don't want anyone to know, or they have cancer and they don't know. You know, it's a million things that people hide. So the emails were from all types of people saying they know what it's like to keep something bottled up inside you and have it eat you up. And it was not just people that were gay. It was many types of people that emailed me.
That's awesome, man. That's really cool. So not to move on to this weekend, but I want to make sure we get your plugs in and everything.
I'm
so
glad you did. Right now there's somebody going, I thought this guy was funny.
Yeah. By the way, speaking of rants, you were hilarious in Preston and Steve yesterday. It was great.
There's two radio shows I love doing, and that is one of two. It's just so much fun. You know, even, I don't know, you know, after you do a podcast, I know after I did a podcast, I realize how difficult that job is.
Oh, God, yeah.
Steering that ship and letting, you know, sort of what I could maybe call myself, at least on that show, a loose cannon come in and, you know how to let me be a loose cannon, steer me to the right, steer me to the left, feed me what I need to know. So, Preston and Steve, there's not that many things that I don't mind getting up at 7 in the morning and doing, and that's one of them.
Yeah.
So, thank you.
Oh, no, yeah, no problem. And there, I'm blown away they do it for like 5 hours straight, too. It just boggles my mind. And they never miss a beat. Yeah, it's awesome.
No, it's very unbelievable.
Yeah, very cool. So let's talk about your shows this weekend. First off, it's tonight, right? Wednesday, because we're going to have this released by the end of the day. So.
Yeah, I think tonight is almost sold out or sold out. I'm not sure.
That's great.
I know that the weekend, you know, there's still tickets for the four shows, but I think, you know, there's some that are close to being sold out. So
that's awesome.
So yeah, we will sell out, and two shows Friday, and well tonight, which is Wednesday.
Yep, Wednesday. Yeah.
Yeah, and then two shows Friday, two shows Saturday, and I'm there with Chip Chantry, good old Philadelphia, best of Philly, Chip Chantry.
Love Chip. He's gonna be he's quote unquote gonna be in the studio in one of our coming up episodes. I'm really excited about that. So funny.
Mention my name again.
Yeah.
Please, I'm in the middle of it. I know, but I want you to mention my name.
That's great. I'll be sure to let him know you gave a plug.
with Chip Chantry, and that's it. Down at good old Helium.
That's great. Just by the way, since you were saying that, you know, kind of doing the fake Chip in the background thing, I was doing interviewing Gary Gulman last year. It was New Year's last year here in the green room. It was like an actual in-person interview. And James Heskey, one of our MCs, came in and started talking about some feature act that Gary never had heard of. And Gary just gave him so much shit about being a no-name, low-rent name dropper. I mean, when Chip was, he did the fake Chip in the background voice. It's funny.
There's nothing funnier than the phone. It's just that you always picture who that person is. Tell them about our open mic night on Tuesday. Mark, the owner of the club, and mention that we have delicious food.
Yeah, half off drinks tonight or something like that. Good deal, Todd. Hey, it's been awesome, man. ToddGlass.com, is it at Todd Glass on Twitter?
Yes, it is.
Good deal. All right. Well, everybody out there, I'm sure anybody that knows Todd's already going out, but anybody else, tonight, one show, two shows Friday, two shows Saturday. It's an absolute must-see. I mean, you know, you have family in town and stuff like that. Definitely go check it out. I'm going to possibly make it to the early Saturday show. I'll definitely say hi afterwards, you know, if I do. Great. Good deal. Thanks so much, Todd. It's been a real privilege. And, you know, next time you're in town, we'll definitely try to do it again.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate you doing it.
No problem, Todd. Have a good one.
Go fuck yourself.
We'll see ya.
A cloud in mind and a heavy heart. But I was sure we could see a new start. So when your hope's on fire, but you know your desire don't hold a glass over the flame, don't let your heart grow cold. I will call you by name. I will share.
And welcome back to the Comedy Food Sports Podcast, episode 49. We're really excited. So we had Todd Glass on earlier, and now we have definitely a favorite comedian of mine. You know, most people probably know him initially from the Chappelle Show, and then he's been all over a lot of VH1 shows, and he's been touring the country. He's got some amazing comedy specials, definitely one of the best in the business, and he'll be at Helium Comedy Club coming up. I believe it's next weekend. We'll confirm with him when we talk to him. So without further ado, Christian Finnegan, how are you, man?
Thank you. Oh, thank you. I would prefer a little bit more ado. You said no further ado.
Yeah.
30 seconds more ado. I appreciate it.
I've literally...
it's definitely Helium, I believe, the 4th through the 7th.
Yes, okay, it is next weekend. Okay, perfect. Just double checking on that. So what's going on with you? What's been happening in the past year or so?
Well, I mean, right now I am in Bourbon, Massachusetts at my dad's house preparing for a Thanksgiving awkward-a-thon. I'm just doing the family thing this week, which it's funny how, you know, you don't see your family for whatever, a year or whatever, and within 24 hours, every single thing that drove you crazy is like right back to the forefront. So I literally leave the house for like 2 hours to get away from them. So that's what I'm dealing with today.
Nice.
In general, I have a new special coming out in a couple of months. So I'm excited about that. Just like everybody, throwing a bunch of poop against the wall and seeing what sticks.
Exactly. So tell us about the special. Where did you already record it?
Yeah, I recorded it a while back in Boston, actually, at the Wilbur Theater. My first DVD, my second CDP, my first DVD, I actually shot in Philly at the Trocadero.
Yeah, I remember that.
So this one I did in Boston, just to kind of mix it up a little bit. Yeah, I'm actually really excited about it. I mean, in this day and age, specials, it's a different kind of animal. You know, I think this one's going to be on Netflix, which is kind of the way people are doing it now.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's my best one. But you know, I'll leave that for other people to decide.
That's awesome, Grant. It's coming out in a couple months, as far as you know.
Yeah, so I think February, I believe. I'm not exactly sure, but it's probably some. I'm guessing probably February.
Very cool. That's awesome. So the concept of our podcast is about comedy, food, and sports. We don't talk about food a ton, but you know, we talk about comedy and sports, and we kind of touch on food. But I'm really intrigued because obviously over the past however many years it's been, you know, you had a pretty dramatic weight loss. How did that all happen, I guess?
Well, I mean, it's a little something called not wanting to die. I actually just left the gym now, which is, I'm quickly becoming fat again, which is will be a great news for people who thought I was funnier when I was fat. I just got to a point where, you know, I had tried to lose weight just a ton of times, and for whatever reason, just it stuck. You know, I think 2006 was when I started dieting, and I took off about 88 pounds. I've probably put a little bit, you know, I'm getting older now, and so my body's decaying by the hour. And so I have to, be careful because I have a knee thing and a hip thing and all that crap. But it's not fun. I mean, there's no real secret to it. You just don't eat crap and go to the gym.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly.
You know, you always want to hear that there's some sort of secret, you know, like, oh, it turns out if you pray to the spirit guide on the solstice, or if you eat lots of Skittles at 3 p.m., then, you know, no, there's no secret. You know how to do it. Doing it. It's a bummer.
Exactly. Yeah. I did probably 6 months ago. I did just like a couple day juice cleanse, and then I just started eating better after that. And a lot of people were asking what the big secret was, and I was just like, well, you don't eat a sub every day, and then you'll.
Yeah. Maybe that movie candy sized box of Juju fruits at 1 a.m. wasn't the best decision.
Yeah, exactly. Very cool. So about sports, are you from, you're from New England originally, is that right?
I'm from Boston, but I hate all the Boston sports teams.
That's awesome.
I would, if the Patriots were playing against Hezbollah, I would probably root for Hezbollah.
You know,
I'm a Knicks fan. Basketball is the only sport that I like actually follow in the off season, care what the trade deadline is and stuff like that. But I'm a Knicks fan, which is just utterly depressing this year.
Yeah, what do you think of Woodson? Do you think he's the right guy or the coach?
You know, I'm starting to think that he's not the right guy for this team. He has this thing where he just can't find a lineup and stick with it, and so nobody knows what their role is, and it just makes Carmelo act like it makes Carmelo be the worst version of Carmelo. Like when he doesn't have a stable sort of group of people around him who are doing their jobs, he just says, like, I guess I got to do it all myself, and that. It's just the ugliest basketball in the world, just dumping it into Carmelo and watching him go 1-on-3 every time.
Yeah, you feel like you're watching like a playground game or whatever. Just
Yeah. I mean, and I'm a Carmelo defender, generally speaking, but this year I don't even know what his options will be. I mean, you know, nobody's playing well. I mean, and when Chandler went out, I mean, Chandler actually looked awesome that first three games, and then when he went out, just everything just fell apart. And I don't even know what the answer is. I mean, they're 3-10 now. If they don't get things together in the next 5 or 6 games, I mean, you're pretty much looking at a lost season.
Yeah, but, yeah, exactly. It's yeah, they're kind
what's
of.
Going on, what's going on with the Sixers? They had a couple of good wins early in the year, didn't they?
Yeah, you know, Michael Carter-Williams, also from Syracuse, he's been a monster for them, and Evan Turner's averaging like 22 a game. It's kind of crazy. They're not good enough by any means, but like Spencer Hawes is putting, he's like, it's like 16 points, 11 rebounds a game or something crazy like that. And
they're kind of a likable team. There's nobody like truly hate worthy on that team now that Bynum is gone, I guess. I mean, not that that was his fault really, but
yeah, he's, of course, everybody here blames him for for having horrible knees.
Well, it is. I mean, and he didn't really help his own cause when he sits there with his like massive crazy hey everybody look at me throw
yeah
on the bench. You know, it is sort of like rubbed into people's faces like, look how much I am not like on the court right now.
Yeah, exactly. And then he's out bowling in public, and he's using that same bad knee. He's like clearly bending it any way he wants. Too funny.
Dude, yeah, I joined a fantasy league this year, which is such a, I'm the worst fantasy dude in the world because I care. I love the draft, and I love the first 2 weeks.
Yeah,
and then I think five of my team is already injured. You know, JaVale McGee, Larry Sanders, just everybody's. So my team basically is scabies at this point. So I just get these angry emails from other people in the league asking why I haven't like fixed or won't respond to their trade request. I don't care.
Yeah, exactly. Just throw in the towel. Yeah. I haven't played fantasy basketball in a long time, but I remember when I did, it was like, you can be on such a high, and then like I had Kevin Garnett 1 year, and he got hurt, and then it was like literally my team was done. It's amazing how quick that happens. It's crazy. I was going to change the subject. So what were you saying?
I was just saying, like, I think fantasy football is really only good fantasy sport in the sense that, you know, there's just not 5 games every night that you have to be paying attention to. You
exactly.
know, there's just too much to do with other sports. But
yeah, yeah. It's
anyway,
super high maintenance.
Aren't you glad you held the topic for that incredibly insightful?
Yeah, it's the truth, though. You know, some people need to know. So I wanted to ask you about the Chappelle Show sketch, because obviously a lot of people recognize you from that. Now, was that? I would assume that was like a game changer for your career. Was that the case, sir?
Oh, sure. I mean, you know, to this day, I mean, it's been 10 years now since I shot it. I'm not sure how long it's been since it aired, but it's been a full 10 years. It was right around the time I met my wife, so I remember it pretty clearly. But, it's still the one thing that people know the most, which is kind of cool. I mean, I don't really have a problem with it. Like, people always will say, like, oh, you probably don't want to talk about this. Like, what are you talking about? It's like I caught a home run ball in the World Series. Like, why wouldn't I want to talk about that? It's totally, I have no problem admitting that that was just like a really lucky thing for me. I mean, I auditioned and things like that, but that skit was going to be hilarious no matter who was the white dude. So I'm pretty lucky.
Yeah, that's really cool. Yeah, it's funny you say that, you know, like, you, of course you want to talk about it. It reminds me of when Neil Brennan will, you know, be on a podcast and people will say, I'm sure you don't want to talk about Chappelle's Show. And he's like, of course I want to. It's like the greatest, you know, 3 years of my life. Of course I want to talk about it, you know.
Yeah. I don't, you know, it's not, the only thing about Chappelle's Show that still can be annoying sometimes, just when you're on the road and somebody will yell, like, I had sex with Katie too in the middle of the show or something like that.
Yeah.
Because sometimes, and I haven't really, this isn't really fun for the audience, but it's really fun for me just because nobody ever has an answer. A few times somebody will, you know, you'll be in the middle of a joke and somebody will yell like, Katie's got the big ass I don't know. Can I speak freely?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Go
I can say today.
Yeah, you can say whatever you want.
Somebody will yell, like, can you get some against today's or whatever? And then I'll just kind of stop the show, and I'll be like, okay, now, what in your mind comes next? You yell out a line from a TV show. That was awkward. And now, in your mind, what happens? That people start cheering for you?
Yeah.
They care about on their shoulders? Like what? Like, surely you must have had a thought in your head, like, I'm going to yell this, and then X is going to happen. Like, what is X? I was like, nobody's ever been able to answer that for me. Like, how do you imagine this going that is not as awkward as this is what's happening right now? Because, like, what do you expect? I'm just going to be like, yep, that's a TV show. Congratulations. Like,
yeah. You expect everybody just to...
Nobody has an answer, of course, because they don't think about it. But right. I mean, it's fascinating to me. Like, in some weird, like, deep recess of a dude's mind, it's always a dude.
Of course, yeah.
They've got to have some sort of fantasy that they're going to win some sort of prize.
Yeah, like you're going to take them out for drinks afterwards and everybody high-fives them. Yeah.
Wait, you heard of Chappelle's show? But in general, people who you know, mention it after shows and things like that, I mean, that's thanks, I appreciate it, you know, okay.
That's, that's really cool. So, what do you have going on? Obviously, you have the special coming out, but are you just touring heavily, or do you have anything in the works, TV-wise?
Yeah, right now, yeah, I mean, I do this music podcast that I started about... I guess like 9 or 10 months ago. I'm like a music dweeb. That's sort of what I spend my free time doing. I had a music podcast called Audio Spackle.
Yep.
Which I have a lot of fun with. That's just kind of more like a labor of love thing where I had a guest on and we have like a theme, like songs you want played at your funeral,
mm-hmm.
or songs you get drunk alone to, or best end of the prom songs. And then we each pick like 3 songs and we talk about it and stuff like that.
That's really cool.
But yeah, we play like Spotify clips and crap like that. So that if you're a music dweeb, I would say go on iTunes and check out Audio Spackle.
Yeah, for sure. That sounds really cool. I'll check that out too. I don't know. I guess I didn't realize you had one. That's awesome. I'll have to check it out.
Yeah,
sounds
I'm not
like
the
really
world's
cool.
Best promoter.
Ah, yeah, that's all right. I mean, it's like you said, it's a labor of love. So you know, you get to
get
to have fun with it. Do you have any good examples of ones that like a top three of any ones that you did?
Well, I mean, they're not per artist, per se. Like, you know, the one I just did recently, we had, like, Guilty Pleasures, you know, songs.
Nice.
If somebody were to see them playing on your iPhone, you would, like, be embarrassed. and I had this dude on, this guy Rob Tannenbaum, who wrote a book called I Want My MTV, which is, like, an oral history of the early years of MTV. And, like,
mm-hmm.
I think he had, you know, Backstreet Boys, I Want It That Way, which... I understand the guilty part. I don't understand the pleasure aspect of that.
Right.
But, you know, where I think I had, like, a Queensryche song or something like that. I have a big 80s metal dude. But,
nice.
But, yeah. But, you know, so it's just basically an excuse to talk about music, you know, to spend 10 minutes talking about Terrence Trent D'Arby, which is really what I like to spend my free time doing.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's really cool. Any, and I'm always curious because I used to be really, I wouldn't say quite one track, but I used to be in like, believe it or not, in like a speed metal band about 10 years ago.
Nice.
And yeah, so it was like very Killswitch Engage, Lamb of God type sound to us. And that was like, yeah, I had a one track mind. I either liked that or I liked like very underground hip hop and there was like nothing in between. But now I'm starting to finally open up to more, you know, indie rock, for lack of a better term. Is there anybody out there that you really like that might be a little bit under the radar?
Well, I mean, yeah, there's this one album that I've been really digging this past week. This band called I cannot believe I like a band, but this band name is terrible. this band is called Diarrhea Planet.
Oh yeah, I've heard about them.
And it's funny because they have 4 guitarists. Which is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Absolutely ridiculous. But it's not like metal. It's kind of just sloppy punk rock, but with sort of arena rock sort of... But for actually playing, you know, with 4 guitarists, you can actually have a lot of different things going on at the same time. What it sounds like is a bunch of musicians got drunk on Genesee Cream Ale and just started jamming. It's really what it sounds like. But it's funny. It reminds me of, like, being in high school and wanting to be in a band. That would be that's probably the thing I'm listening to the most right now. And also there's this this woman Sky Ferreira, who's like, she does like really kind of cheesy 80s synth pop, but I don't know why I'm a sucker for it. I don't know, it reminds me of songs of my youth or something.
No, that's...
Diary of Planets, that's the one I would say.
Yeah,
go check out.
Very cool. Yeah, we'll play a clip after the interview of one of their songs. That's awesome. Yeah, it's funny you said Jenny. It's funny you said Jenny Cream Ale, because I grew up in Rochester, so I grew up on Jenny Cream Ale.
Jenny Cream. That's the kind of beer. When I was in college, I waited tables at like a restaurant that had like 110 kinds of beer, and I had never drank before that. And so we would steal six packs after work all the time. And so I would have like Sierra Nevada when I was like slumming it, you know, and I was really going cheap crap.
Right.
And then when I stopped working there, and I had to buy my own beer. And all of a sudden, Genesee Cream Ale came into the picture. And boy, man, you have to drink that ice cold with a glass of water.
Oh, yeah.
It just tastes like somebody puked into your mouth.
Yeah, it is the worst. I actually could never drink it unless it was out of a keg. And I think it was just because if it was out of a keg, odds are I was getting sloppy drunk and I didn't think about what I was drinking.
I can even just taste it in my mouth right now. It's so nasty.
Too funny. Cool, man. So we'll kind of wrap things up. Are you, I got your website here. What's your, is your Twitter handle anything funky?
Yeah, on Twitter, I'm at Christ Finnegan.
nice.
Just delusions of grandeur.
Of course.
And and then my website is ChristianFinnegan.com. But yeah, at Christ Finnegan is my Twitter, and then, you know, Facebook.com/ChristianFinnegan.
Of course, cool. Well, I will tweet this out a little bit later today. We'll have all this, the dates and your website and Twitter, and I'll make sure I give it another tweet like next week when it's a little bit closer to the show too. But really appreciate you calling in. Next time you come to town, definitely don't hesitate to reach out. And I'm gonna hopefully get out to one of the shows next weekend. I have a kid and everything,
yeah.
So we'll see how that
awesome,
all works
dude.
Out. But appreciate it, man, and good luck.
Look forward to it.
All right, take care, man. We'll see ya.
Thanks, Roger.
Thanks.
Hey yo, I send this to all of my corporate corpses, trying to abort the thoughts and coming out wildin', dumbing out time to off the office. I was surely sort of twisted, worked at a TV studio and audio assistant. Easy, do my duty, though at times was in a mean mood. How'd I gotta be cool? I was on the brink of fiends, drool, living at the green room. Made a brother the same color, but beyond neon. Pushing me to pee on, balking the dreams to be gone. Turning to the talent, and many they haven't any. Was especially a challenge when he be like, God damn it, can he hear this vocal? As he cuffing it, how my mic sound? Thinking on the low is perfect when he put the mic down. Clown stand steady, really wanting subservience. Sound man bevying, thinking I'd fucking murder them and steaming as I'm watching through. Leaving on some high pursuit, gotta win as these cats be modeling what not to do.
Get a wake up, 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 get a wake up.
6 in the morning and the walls closing. High noon calls and the walls on him. Kings at the ready, not a war's won't win. Win, 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 win. Storms on the harbor like a harbinger for gore. Gore's my harbinger, part of the art of war. Get your doors darkened by the house of card carpenters who never thought a slave could be a Spartacus and more. Pencil sharpener with a resume for the carnivores who take important conference calls and corner office walls. Still a buck is a buck and he punched numbers. 5 punch, just say no to company functions. And he duck into the dungeons. Nothing says kill it like a day of fetching paperclips and staplers to the privileged. 2 lives, 1 is chores for whores. 1 is where I wanna be when you begin regretting yours. And I bored him with a large coffee tardy every morning to a man who took authority beyond what it was for. How you gonna pay the rent, day job free? Make rap records, matter of fact, thanks.
Get a wake up, get a wake up, get a wake up, get a wake up.